Hello, everyone, and welcome to You Are Beautiful. And if you didn't hear it today already, let me say it to you right now. You are, wait for it, beautiful. That's right. My name is Lawrence Zarian, but since we are going to be instant fast friends, you can call me LZ. On this podcast, some of my closest friends from television, film, movies, influencers, designers, they're going to be here with me, with us, talking about how they feel, what makes them feel beautiful, and when they look in the mirror, what do they see? It's going to be a fun ride. Trust us, trust me, and let's have some fun. Hey, and by the way, let me say it again. You are beautiful. Hey, everybody, welcome to You Are Beautiful with Lawrence Zarian. And before we started recording, we got into this big conversation about what is reality. So I'm just going to go right in. Okay, Fen, I'm going to count to three. And when I hit three, I want you and I both to say at the exact same time what the reality is. Okay?
Yes.
One, two, three.
No.
Everybody uses everybody.
Oh, I went for something actual.
What did you actually go for?
Now.
Oh, well, I was actually, I'm with one of my dearest friends, Finola Hughes. And one of my favorite lines ever in any movie ever created was,
everybody uses everybody. I'm just stunned that people cottoned onto that. Like, I don't even remember it being so earth shattering when we said it. And now it's just this sort of, you know, line that people remember from the movie.
What's so funny about life is we sometimes don't know what people will remember. And that's sort of an example of what life is. What we do, what we say, how we behave will always leave an indelible imprint on someone's life. And when it comes to you, it's millions and millions and millions of people's lives.
Wow. I don't know about that, but a couple.
First of all, I want to say thank you for doing this podcast with me.
Thank you for everything, Lawrence.
Well, look, people come into our lives for a season, a reason, and a lifetime. And you and I always pick up where we left off.
Yes.
I met Finn when I was in a relationship with her best friend, Ian Buchanan. We met, Ian and I were together for a couple of years. And during the process of relationships, you meet amazing people. And that is how we met.
And I remember the first time I met you, you were wearing a robe.
Oh, excellent. It's always a good start.
Yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's Noel Coward. He's just like walking around in a robe. And you were just so like confident. And
I know, but the backdrop of Ian Buchanan's living space at that time, the trompe-l'oeil walls, the chandeliers coming out of the ceiling. Yeah.
Nobody lives more classily than our dear friend.
One of the kindest, most authentic men that
human
I know.
Human beings that I'm so lucky and grateful that I ever met him, and he's in my life for so many years now. And I just can't believe I was that lucky, you know?
Well, lucky, I mean, lightning struck when you guys were together on General Hospital as Duke and Anna. I mean, people still talk about that. You guys were reunited many years later, and you guys are still in each other's lives in a very big way.
Constantly. He's the godfather to my middle son. And, you know, he's just the best person. He's just the best person. I just adore him.
I love when you say best person, because the whole concept of this podcast was how through the last almost 2 years, we've all had to regroup, restart, refresh, renew because of the pandemic. And what we used to see and what we used to see out in the world has completely changed. And everybody was given an opportunity to, I would just say, do a life pivot.
Or go deeper. I think,
yeah.
I think go deeper.
So my question for you is, with everything you've gone through, career, life, living your life, a mother's job is never done. But we've also all together as a world have gone through a pandemic. So let me ask you, what makes you feel beautiful today?
Honestly, I think being part of a community, being part of my friends' lives, you know, my family's lives, that I think, like, for example, last night, a really good friend of mine in Texas, she's a nurse practitioner. And, you know, she texted me last night with a story about her 18-year-old son's friend. And there's three of us that are always on this group text because we're sort of separated. Like, she's in Texas and our other good friend is in Miami. So the three of us group text. And it was just this sort of moment of we were all holding each other's hands.
Love
like
that.
Today, even I still don't know how this boy is. And so I just think through this pandemic, I would say that this is pretty much across the world, is that we've all discovered, even if we already knew, but I think we've discovered more to a more dramatic extent how important it is to have friends and family in your corner, even if you can't be with them. I haven't seen my brother, obviously, in 2 years, but the only thing there is in the world is interpersonal relationships. And community extends as far as you want it to. I mean, it extends to the planet. It extends to the future and the past and, you know, all the objects around you.
I think the thing that the pandemic did is it wasn't isolated. Like, I wasn't the only one going through it. We were all going through something together. And you have a choice. You can either keep doing the same thing over and over again, or you can make changes to live your life differently, because we were really all forced to task oneself and ask ourselves what truly matters. And what you've come out on the other side is friends and family and that community, which I think was lost. Because you're in a business, I'm in a business, it's constantly going, it's running, it's moving, and it never stops.
No, it doesn't. But even so, even in this business, like you build a community, I do. I mean, I have, and I know you have too, because you're always there for my family. And like you know, you and your brother, Gregory, met up with my oldest son and supported him. And he has a photo shoot today, actually.
Excellent.
By the way. So if you take my line, everybody uses everybody, and flip it on to a positive, you know, we do all use each other in the best way that we can sometimes.
I love that you just did that, because, you know, I love that line, number one. And number two, I think that's the pivotal moment. You just hit the nail on the head, Finn. That is exactly what we've been forced to do in these last couple of years.
Is call on each other.
Call on each other. But also realizing, somebody said to me, my friend Orly Shani, amazing on-camera lifestyle expert in DIY. She's amazing, the DIY designer. I love her. Orly's fantastic. And we were talking about how our lives have changed. And she said she's realized that everybody's not her friend. She's got her family. She's got her chosen family, which are the people that are not blood related that we bring into our lives. She has her friends. She has her colleagues, work colleagues, and she has her acquaintances. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so fascinating to put everybody in their place and in their space in our lives. Because the ones that are my friends are the ones that you might have to put some work into it, but it's not work.
No.
It's easy. It's effortless. Little hiccup every now and then. But like with you and I, we don't see each other often. Mm-hmm. But when we see each other, we always pick up where we left off. And mm-hmm. to me, that couldn't be more clear or true than it is now.
I think that's true of very good friends. Honestly, I do. You know, I have a really, really good friend in New York, and we talk constantly. And Ian, of course, and, you know, and my brother. Like, my brother is my favorite person in the world. He's just extraordinary. And my children, obviously. But that's a different relationship. Like, my brother can support me, and my kids. Actually, I learn a lot from my children, I have to say. I learn a lot more than I ever thought I would. I tend to be the same with everyone.
Right.
I'm the same with people that I don't know, that I do know. I try not to differentiate. However, you do obviously have deeper relationships with certain people. I try to treat everybody as though they are a comrade, even if they're not. Because I don't think I used to do that when I was younger. I think I used to judge more. And now I just go in and treat everybody as a comrade until I'm proved otherwise, until it's proved otherwise.
And two things. I also don't jump on somebody else's bandwagon. If somebody's having an issue with someone and somebody's complaining, and then it becomes this whole group thing, like a group lynching, I always say, I treat someone as they've treated me, as you've just said, unless proven otherwise. The thing that I love about what Orly did, and I'm guilty of this, is everybody was my friend. Like, I say I love you to everybody, and there's this part of me that is true. I love everybody. I love the world. But people show up in my life like, you know, you meet people where they're at. And there are some people that are work colleagues. Are you my friend? No, you're a work colleague. Mm. Are you somebody that's in my life all the time? No, you're an acquaintance. My friends are committed. It's a give, it's a take. And I think what these last couple of years have done is it's not a broad brushstroke. I think it's created for me this new space. I'm calling it like a space of grace. Because of this pandemic and everything, you and I picked up in a different way. You and Gregory and I and your beautiful son had a lunch. And it made me realize when we walked away, truly how special yours and my history is. Mm-hmm. And you were so important and instrumental in that relationship with Ian. You know, you always love the ones you've loved. And it was the first time another man treated me the way he did. And through that sweetness, life lessons, I got you. Mm-hmm. Have you always been a friend? Yes. Mm-hmm. Have you always been somebody that I cherish? Yes. Have there other people that have been work acquaintances that I've said, you're my friend? Well, they're not my friend. They're somebody I have to work with, and we are friendly with one another. Does that make sense? Right.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Yes. And I think when it comes to work, you have to, which is something that's taken me a long time to learn, but you do have to be smart. You know, you have to be smart because there's some people that will give you a leg up. Like I saw that lovely post that you put on IG about Patty Fox. And, you know, that's somebody that has your back. And I've had people over the years, you know, like my executive producer now, Frank Valentini, has my back, always has. And my very first producer that I worked with. And, you know, then there's some showrunners and they have my back. Like they do, like they'll call me up.
Without question.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about it.
And that's just building relationships over the years. See, I've just been reading this book. It's a philosophy book, but there was something that really struck me. And it said something about vertical relationships and horizontal relationships.
I love that.
And if you have one vertical relationship in your life, which means that you treat that person as above you and like, you know, and yes, we all have bosses. They do get the last say. However, it's up to you to create a horizontal relationship with that person because it helps them as well as it helping you. And it really made me look at, you know, how school is run and how we have this sort of reward punishment sort of
right.
educational way of working. And we grow up with that. So therefore, we sort of go into work with that. Dylan, who you met, yeah. makes horizontal relationships with everybody.
Really?
That's just his, and he will call on you. He has no qualms about calling. He will pick up the phone or he will text you and ask you a way to solve his problem or how does he do this? You know, I've tried to raise all my kids to have those horizontal relationships. I didn't have that growing up.
But don't you also feel that that's also one of the reasons you are so successful? Because I do feel that then, because I didn't have that either. Yes, I had my identical twin brother, which was a constant. That's another issue
yeah.
that I've had to work with of never being self. But with having this relationship by myself, I worked really hard. Nobody's given me anything. So everything I've had to work for, fight for, and achieve, which makes it that much more sweeter.
Yeah. I mean, I have done the same thing.
So let me ask you this. And I will say one of my favorite things with our lunch, a little jealous of the way you treated Gregory. That's fine. I'll work on that. But watching you with your son, and I always say there's nothing sweeter than a love between a mama and her kids. Yeah. You know, this whole podcast is about beauty. From yeah. the inside out. So let me ask you this, because I see you one way. When you look in the mirror at yourself, oof. What do you see? What do you see?
Oh, I just see all the things that are like, I don't know. I have to look in the mirror to put makeup on. And I try really hard not to do the whole thing.
Whole thing like breaking yourself down.
Yeah, and I really try to be kind. And, you know, because like as Katharine Hepburn said, you know, she didn't watch her movies because she didn't want to watch herself in various stages of decay. And I
wow, just, I've heard that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? And you're like, yeah, I try to go with how I feel, you know, like if I've gone for a hike or if I've swum or if I've done some yoga or whatever. So I know that Friday night, you know, me and the kids will go for Pokeball or something. And then we go see a movie. And that's excellent. On Friday nights. And we sit and watch a movie and we stuff our faces with popcorn. And I am so happy after that because then we drive home and we talk about the film and, you know, it's just great.
Which is exactly why I'm doing this is because so many people, I think, before the pandemic got so wrapped up in the visual, you know, social media, you can filter this, you can make this thinner, you can make that bigger. It's this world where so many people can change and alter who they are because they want to be something else. But to me, what's beautiful is who you are on the inside. And you're talking about not the physical, You're talking about being with your kids. You're talking about an event. You're talking about an emotion. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes you feel something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Happy. It does.
Is there something, you know, like for me, I've got my John Varvatos. I was going to say my,
Your John Travolta boots?
My John.
Yes.
I was going to say, so I've got these John Varvatos biker boots. They're mortgage payment boots. And whenever I want to feel sexy, those are my go-to. You know, people only use 20% of their wardrobe. You know, the rest of it is 20%. I wear
absolutely.
The same thing over and over again.
Over and over.
But I know that those boots, I know that a couple t-shirts, a couple pair of jeans are what I put on to make me feel sexy.
Yes.
Is there something that is your go-to
yes.
that you put on? What yeah. is it?
It is a Nili Lotan silk dress that I bought on eBay, and it was new with tags, NWT, right. and it's like a sort of purple color. And one of my friends at General Hospital sort of put me on to Nili Lotan. I didn't know about her. She makes these silk dresses and they are, you know, a mortgage. But I thought I'd go on eBay and look, and I found one, and I love that dress.
So when you put it on, what are some of the feelings that come up for you?
It makes me feel sexy because it's silk, and it's a sort of almost like a, my daughter's always, whenever I leave and I'm wearing it, she says, you always look like you're going to bed in that. It's like it looks like a silk nightgown, but a short one, like to the knee. It's basically a slip dress. I have a lot of slip dresses.
Love
I really
it.
Like them.
You know what I also see you in?
No, you know, and I should have worn this actually.
I could see you in a jumpsuit. I mean,
No. That's what I was going to wear.
Seriously? You were to wear my jumpsuit?
I was going to put it on to wear now.
I would have loved that more than anything in the world.
And why don't I put it on?
And you know what? When the time is right, you will wear it. And here's what I love about the collection. I designed the clothing for women to feel something. You know, it took me years to put together. I always say it's not the label you're wearing. It's how you feel when you put something on. So I love the fact that you have that slip dress. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that I also have like a pair of Target t-shirts that I throw on, and it makes me feel sexy
Target.
As well.
I love Target.
It's never about the money. It's no. all about the feeling.
It is all about the feeling. And let me tell you, your new collection that's coming out, or is it out?
The fall collection.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, I love that.
It is. It's
Thank
so
you,
good.
Finn.
Like, didn't I text you like when I saw, is it leopard print or zebra? Zebra. Is it zebra?
You saw the leopard print jacket.
It's fantastic.
Thank you. It's $45 with pockets, and it's machine washable.
Holy, you see, 45, like, and Target does that. They just did some collections that came out. And, you know, I buy myself the pants. I'm wearing, you know, Target pants right now. I'm so not about how much things cost. That's why I go to eBay. I mean, I really don't like to spend stupid money, but I do like to see things that are sourced. I like to see things that, you know, where people are careful about, you know, how they treat the planet. But your rose gold sequined, the top that
the
I have.
Yeah, the t-shirt.
Yeah. Is gorgeous, and you can wear
Thank
it
you.
With jeans, and you can wear it with a skirt, and you can wear it. It's perfect.
Let me say this. Look, you've got a passion for fashion. You always have.
I do.
So the fact that you're complimenting something that I've done in the design department means the world to me. So thank you.
But you're doing it classily, and you're doing it thinking about the people that are going to wear it, which I don't think people do think about that. And I think you really are considering the people who are going to wear
it. So it's like going to a restaurant and only being allowed to eat certain things. So, you know, women are all shapes and glorious sizes.
Yes.
So I designed the collections for every woman at every shape, mm-hmm. every age, every glorious size to find something that makes them feel beautiful.
Yeah.
So thank you.
They can. No, and they can, and they should. Everybody.
As we are in this world, you know, the world is all about social media. And, you know, you and I are at that age where we didn't have all of that. You know, we lived our lives. We were looking up. We saw the world. We saw what it is. I understand the game. I think there are moments where social media can be fun and silly and cheeky. I think other times it is such a detriment. What is your relationship, because of the work that you do and you've got kids, what is your relationship with social media?
I think it's fairly healthy. You know, I realize it's weird. Like I look at it sometimes and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, all these people are doing so much. And I don't post a lot. During that pandemic, I did, because me and Ian, we did a television show, like a little thing that we put together, IGTV, a little show called Enter Exit. And they were 3-minute episodes and it was really fun. So I did use social media because, again, I needed to be part of a community.
It was also creative. You know, you got to be creative. Yeah. You got to work with somebody you love. So I understand all of that.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. And he's so funny. And he was great in that little role. He was just amazing.
Do you want to hear my Ian Buchanan? This is my impression of Ian Buchanan. Ready?
Let's hear it.
Hi, it's Ian. Good. That's it. That's all I got. I know. Okay. Yeah. And scene. And you will never hear that again. So what about, you know, on General Hospital, you've got all these different ages of characters and you see the young girls posting a lot. You see a lot of people posting a lot. So what would you say to a young boy or a young girl that is really struggling with self, but they're looking at social media to feel a part of, be a part of, and I'm going to filter this. I'm going to do that.
Well, you know, I do. I have a young girl and a young boy. I have a 17-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter. And both of them, they have private accounts, obviously, right now. Though my son is out there, you know, he's
It's such a good name, though, too. Cash is
Cash?
Such a good name. Cash. You named all your kids, Cash, Sadie, and Dylan.
Sadie, yeah, Sadie's the youngest. And Sadie plays her cards close to the chest. So she looks at what everyone does, and she rolls her eyes. Like, she has an innate sort of ability to sort of feel like it's all smoke and mirrors.
Right.
And then Cash sort of blows it up. He plays the devil's advocate to it. And he's like, oh my, you know, these girls with their big thick eyebrows and the poofy lips. And he's like, look at that, you know, and he's just, there was a girl that he saw on social media. I can't even remember who it was. Really pretty girl. And he's like, look, this is so-and-so's girlfriend. It was, you know, some influencer's girlfriend. Who knows? I don't even know. And I go, oh, she's really pretty. And he looks at her and he goes, I want one. And it was just hilarious. I want one. And it was just so funny. Both of them have this real sort of tongue-in-cheek opinion about what's going on.
Is it hard, though, for a parent to sit back and allow your kids to participate? Or do you always get involved?
It's their world.
It's their world.
It's their world. It's not my job. I protect them to a certain extent. You know, I hope nobody ever gets catfished in my family. Like, I keep their Instagram private for now. But I feel like I have to trust my children's morals and intuition, because otherwise I'm doing their life for them and they have to figure out a way to rely on themselves. Like, my parents trusted me. So I have to, with all the, you know, I put all the warnings on the products.
Right.
And with all those warnings in place, I have to allow them to do their tasks. I have to allow them to build their lives because it's not my life.
I can't imagine what it is like for a parent to be responsible for someone else's life, but also to allow your children to fly and flourish or fail and fall.
Fail and fall. Yeah, you have to. I think people are really scared of allowing their kids to fail. I don't want them to, but, you know, it's a possibility. It's all about, what do you do now? Okay, so that happened. What do you do now? Like, last year, Cash found online learning really difficult. So he had to do some summer school. And he just killed it. Like, he got A pluses in summer school. And he made it happen for himself. He knew that that was going, you know, he's a junior. So he knew he had to get that together. And so he did.
I love that. You know, I love the concept of staying close by, watching with both eyes open and letting your kids live their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a question that's been asked and I sort of love this. And you know, when we learn something, we can pass it on. You've had a very big career, and a lot of people in the entertainment business don't get to do as many things as you've done.
Thank you.
You are probably one of the most intelligent, brightest, funny women I know. You weren't born that way. You became this way. If you could go back and say something to your younger self with the information that you have now, what would you say to sweet Fanoa?
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
And you know what I was taught, you know, I'm sober and I'm so, you know, I'm so vocal about my sobriety over 16 years. They, you know, that term fear, it's false evidence appearing real.
Yes.
What would we be if we couldn't fail? And then what I'm realizing, I'm in this new space now, what I would go back and say to little LZ is, what people think about you is none of your business.
None of your business.
None of your business at all.
That's their work. That's what they do. That's none of your business.
Okay. So what makes you now more so than ever really stop and smell the roses?
Just thinking that we only have so much time here. Mm. I remember watching my father. He passed away actually when he was about 60. And like towards the end, he was just running around doing everything, reading. I mean, obviously he didn't know he was going to pass away so young, but he really lived life in the moment. I mean, he was just such a great example of that. Very well-read man and really, really funny. And I think that if we don't smell the roses, who's going to smell them for us? Like, who's going to do that? We have to go see the sunsets. Go do those lovely things.
And also be in it.
Yeah, be in the moment.
Have Greg and I have made such conscious decisions. We don't take our phones with us everywhere anymore.
Oh, great.
There's a term in sobriety. Why are you washing the car when you're doing the dishes? Which means you're not in the
process. Because you're a mother.
Yep.
Is the answer to that. But you can tell that the next time you go to a meeting. The answer to this question actually is because you're a mother.
But we're not in the moment of our lives. We're not walking down the street, feeling the sun on our nose, feeling the breeze wrap around us, take the scents in.
So here's something that I read the other day, and I really love this. If you're living in the past and thinking about the future, your life is sort of gray. Like it's a very dull color because you've got three things going. You've got your past, you've got what's happening now, and you've got your future. So you're not really dealing with anything. But if you imagine you're on stage and there's a spotlight on you and it's so bright, you can't see anything else, that moment is illuminated to the brightest that it could possibly be. You can't see the future and you can't see the past anymore.
Love that.
Right?
Oh, I love that.
I love that too.
And they say the past is gone, the future, who knows? And right now is a gift because you're in the present, which is a gift.
Yep.
You know, after the pandemic, you know, throughout the whole pandemic, I think we all get these lessons in life. And as an identical twin, I've never known what my life was without having Gregory next to me. And because of the pandemic, I had to live my life on my own. And that is one of the biggest gifts. I want to be with my brother. I don't have to be with anyone. The other thing that I've realized, which is so important, and this is where I'm at with relationships and friendships, I have a lot of people that genuinely love me. I also want a lot of people, and if they do, they do, but you have to also like me. There's some people in my life that really love me, but they don't like me. And it's been such an interesting realization because we have so much more time to look at it and like, celebrate the essence of who I am, what I bring to the friendship, trust, confidence, loyalty. And if those pieces aren't in place, then how do you build a foundation on a broken foundation? Mm-hmm. And I think there's something in that. And I think we're all choosing or not. You know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again. And
it is.
Wanting a different result. Wanting a different outcome. But we all have this great opportunity to regroup and restart. Okay. A couple more things. I'm going to give you a word or I'm going to say something and you tell me the first thing that pops into your mind. Okay? Ready?
Okay.
Cats.
I actually was wearing a Cats t-shirt this morning. I have a Cats sweatshirt from the 80s.
Yes. So,
I do. Cats.
Now and forever.
Yeah. You know, beginnings.
Beginnings. John Travolta.
Lovely man. Just lovely man. That's not really. Well, he was just the loveliest person.
Staying alive.
Campy and fierce.
Blossom.
Oh, amazing. Maya Bialik. She's so cool.
And she's doing such a great job on Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. Don't you love it?
Such a great... Now, look, I'm just going to say this. I want to put her in a kitten heel. I know she wears flats, but I want... As a fashion expert, I know it's not going to happen, but...
No, she's not interested. She's not interested at all. She's just the best. I adored her and her family. I just really liked them. They were great.
All my children.
Oh, New York. And my first son, New York, and friends. Like, I swear, when you make friends in New York, they don't let you go. You're friends forever. Oh my gosh.
One of my favorite things that we did in New York was you and I just took an adventure and went for a walk.
Oh, yes.
There's something about that arm in arm strolling in the city. There's something about the heartbeat of that city. You know, some people have hiking and camping in the mountains. Mine truly is the jungles of New York City. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. All my children, yeah. We did that. All right.
Yeah.
General Hospital.
Family. That's family to me for sure. It always has been. And from the moment that I got there, you know, I just come from London and I wanted a family here in America, and that sort of became it. And I've met so many great people through it.
Is there something, you know, I always say the world can attack in the best way our senses. You know, you're walking through something and you get a smell of something and it reminds you of, whether it's perfume or food. You put on clothing and it reminds you of a feeling. It's a piece of clothing in your closet, and it's an instant memory. What do you listen to that makes you feel alive, that makes you feel something? What's your go-to?
Beyonce.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, what's your favorite song?
I love, crikey, I know, I'm blanking now. Well, Lemonade.
Do you want to hear mine?
Yes.
Mine's Love on Top.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just love it because first of all, it's a show-off song. So she's saying, you sit down, girls. Mama's going to sing because she's got all those octaves. But I just love the feeling. I love the vibe. I love the energy behind Love on Top.
I never know the names of them. That's why. That's my problem. It's like I just sing along with them.
Because Finn, we're at that age.
And especially Lemonade. Like, seriously, I can sit and watch that entire movie over and over again.
Really?
Yeah. All of it. And when it came out, I couldn't believe something had so many words in it that meant so much to me. Yeah, it just, Lemonade is it for me. It really is.
Also, the three voices together with Destiny's Child. I mean,
Destiny's Child is gorgeous. Well, that was obviously when it all first started. But for me, Beyonce on her own, I just love her. I just love her so much.
Can I tell you what else that I love about her? She, you know, I always have this issue when people have a start and then their life evolves and evolves into something else, and then they sort of negate their past. She's never negated anything about her past. And to me, that's so important.
You know why? That's because she's happy with who she is now. Because you find what's good in your past in order to live your best life now.
So here's what I love. I'll tell you this, and then I want to ask you one more question. You know, when I got sober, my sponsor said to me, okay, Lawrence, tell me your story. And I was like, oh my God. So I told them my story. I'm like, oh my God, my dad was this, my mother was this. And I literally threw
bad
up.
Guys, bad
I threw
girls,
up but... my entire story.
Yeah. And poor me.
Yeah, all of it. But it's all I knew. And he said, first of all, I'm so sorry. And I said, thank you. And I'm like, oh my God, you see me, you feel me, you understand. And he said, now here's a question. What would you be without your story?
I know.
What would you be without all of that? And I'm like, what? Like what? And he said,
that's so Byron Katie.
No, but it's already happened. And he said, it's a part of you, but it's not all of you. And to me, I wouldn't be this person without the rough childhood I had. No. I wouldn't. And I love it. I didn't love it at the time, but as we grow and evolve and we learn therapy, sobriety, I've taken my life and I own it. So there's something about being a part of that past, but not living in that past, which sort of loops us back to
it doesn't exist. I like to think that not it doesn't exist. And you know, it is that whole bad guy, this is bad person, this is what happened to me, poor me. And, you know, that's the sort of part, you know, that's two sides of it. And then the third side is, so what are you going to do now?
So here's my question. And you know who mine is. Who is your ride or die and why?
My ride or die? Mm-hmm. Well, it's got to be Ian. Ian's my ride or die. I mean, like, I turn to him for like so much. Like, seriously, I do. But then I would also say my brother as well, because there's like literally, he was in New Zealand one time and something happened in my family. He got on a plane by 4:30 that afternoon and flew to Los Angeles. And I remember calling my sister-in-law, who I'm very close to, and, you know, continuing to say, this is happening and that's happening. And she said, oh, it's okay. Sean's on his way to the airport. And I was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, the next morning he was in Los Angeles and that was that. I know it'd be Gregory for you because he's just
Gregory,
always going to be there for you.
His husband, John.
Yeah.
And the older I get, the more, I call him my lifeboat. Who's in my lifeboat? And there's some room for people in my lifeboat. And you know, there's never a question or thought. I pick up the phone. They're there. They pick up the phone.
Sweet.
This is the last question. So I want you to answer this for me and repeat it and then answer it. I, Finola Hughes, am beautiful because?
I, Finola Hughes, am beautiful because I get to love.
Love that. That is so good. And so many people are not living in the moment. And, you know, people pick up where they're left off. And I feel that God moves us like chess pieces. And God moved Ian into my life for so many reasons. I've never had a relationship like that, nor will I ever. But also God moved you into my life. And I don't think you'll ever realize what a pivotal place you had for me in that space. Because I was young, there's an age difference, and I didn't know a lot of things. But you were this constant that was always there to celebrate and support me. So please know that you really do matter for more ways than you can ever imagine in my life.
But look at what you've done with everything, Lawrence.
Thank you.
Like, you know, look at what you've done. You've turned yourself into this amazing fashion guy, and you've just done so great. You've like really flown.
Thank you.
You know, you made that happen.
You know, we have a choice. You know, I believe it takes just as long to be an asshole as it does to be nice. And we, no, but we do. We get to choose to be nice. And, you know, as an actor, you know, one of the things I used to love is, you know, the moment before. What's the moment before you walk into a scene?
Yeah.
If I'm engaging with somebody and they're coming at me with a lot of stuff, I always think, what was their moment before? Because I'm not a part of that. Their moment before has absolutely nothing to do with me. But if I show up and I'm kind and I do the work, you know, we are our history.
But we don't have to be.
No. But we're the impression we leave on somebody's life. Mm-hmm. Like the last moments we have in this will be this moment. This is my moment with you.
Right.
We'll have many moments more in the future, but what is that last impression you left on someone? And to me, that's what this universe is about. Being kind, being polite, being genuine.
Yeah, it is. Being kind.
And in the best way, everybody uses everybody in the most glorious way. And I love you so much, Finn.
Love you too.